So this is a day to celebrate. So can you ring out with the words of celebration all around the world and around Westcott and Dorking and the villages around? Celebrate that amidst all the crisis we're in, there are things to celebrate. And this is a day of celebration. So celebrate the extraordinary dedication of doctors, nurses, care workers and other key workers. Celebrate 750,000 volunteers to support the NHS. Celebrate people all over the country coming out on Thursday evenings to applaud the NHS staff. Celebrate our government acting to try to protect livelihoods, raising universal credit by £1,000 a year, giving the homeless shelter. Celebrate over 70 volunteers with a Good Neighbour scheme in Westcott, replicated across many parts of the country. Celebrate many people in our church acting as pastoral contacts, staying in touch with people. Celebrate people across Westcott and the country looking out for neighbours. Celebrate Jim Glover, member of our church, chairman of the Community Foundation for Surrey, telling us that within barely 1 week, the foundation raised over £400,000 to support local charities. Celebrate so much goodness, so much goodwill. And in Christian faith, we were celebrating here last week on Palm Sunday that we see a source to all this goodness, the God who is love. The God who becomes love personified in Jesus, who confronts sin, death and the devil and overcomes all through sacrificial love. And we have been saying over these last weeks that we know we have to change post-corona. We cannot go back to where we were. We invite yet greater crises, not least from the climate emergency, if we do not change. And as Christians, we can celebrate all these signs of hope across the country that we are seeing in this crisis, signs that we will change. The Christian knows, though, that for all the general celebration of goodness around us, that we as Christians have a special responsibility to change, and gloriously we have all the means to change. And that is by being subsumed by the love of God and responding to him in love. It is this centering in love that will bring the permanent change of the realization of the kingdom of God. There can be no permanent change without a spiritual core of God's love for us and us loving him. Bishop Graham Tomlin writes in his book on the cross of Christ, "When we are loved, we are able to change." And his words echo Dostoevsky in The Brothers Karamazov. Only love can summon a response of love. When we are loved, we are able to change. Only love can summon a response of love. So see what has happened this Holy Week and the joy of this day of resurrection. Know that God loves you. And please respond to him in love. Love for him, for Jesus. Know God's deep love for you and let yourself be changed by him. Respond to his love by loving for his kingdom, bringing change. And remind us shortly about what that change might look like. But first, we're going to see two examples of men who were changed early on by encountering love in the risen Christ. Peter and Cornelius, as in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. First, there is Peter, the apostle, the first leader of the church, the man who Jesus said would be the rock, the foundation of his church. The man was a failure, but see Peter and know that in God's love, you don't have to be afraid of failure. Peter is to be commended in so many ways. From the start, he had seen Jesus as being so very special that he left everything to follow him. He could have stayed at home in Galilee with the family, making a nice living as a fisherman. Thank God he didn't. Many people, of course, don't bother. Many refuse to allow Jesus to make any intrusion into their lives. Is this you? Not wanting, allowing Jesus to disturb your life? I pray you won't do that. I pray that you'll be moved to see that Jesus is absolutely worth following. So Peter does. He stops relying on his home securities and follows Jesus, and he is the first to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. Then it was Peter who proudly declared that he would never desert Jesus. But we know what happens the night before Jesus died. Peter denied three times that he knew him. So much for the rock the foundation of the church. Was Peter's problem that for all his belief in Jesus, he did not actually know him in love, in relationship? He believed in Jesus, in who he was, what he could do. But was it the case that Peter did not have a relationship of love with Jesus? Did Peter see Jesus as a kind of superstar, remote from the human heart with all its complexities of emotions? For all his bold statements and attempted actions, it seems Peter could not see Jesus' invitation of love and so be changed. And is that you? Can you believe, do you believe that Jesus is worthy of worship? You might look to him in prayer for miracles, but you do not have a relationship of love with Jesus, and so you cannot be changed. For Peter, of course, it is the glorious resurrection of Jesus that brings change, and later, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But in between, something hugely significant happened. As we heard in the gospel reading, post-resurrection, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter is irritated. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." But in the encounter, Peter must be left with knowing that this is what is central, what is vital. It is love. To give in love for God, for Jesus. To be utterly vulnerable in relationship with him. Peter melts in love for Christ. And such a relationship of love empowers Peter to live fully in God's love for him. We can often think that Christian faith is about beliefs and creeds, and of course it is. We need to know the things that Peter tells Cornelius and his household in the Acts reading. We need to know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. We need to know how Jesus went around doing good and healing, confronting evil, because God was with him. We need to know how Jesus was killed by the authorities by hanging him on a tree. We need to know and believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that God raised him from the dead. We need to know that Jesus will judge our lives, but in him we can be confident of salvation, because in him we can receive forgiveness of sins. We need to know and believe all of this, even if we do not fully understand it. All these things about the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. But overriding all, we have to remember and hold to the fore that beyond these beliefs, this is a love story about God's immense love for you and all creation. We can reduce the Christian faith to a set of creeds and principles and be left cold. Is this you? Your relationship with God is little more than a theory. A theory cannot change you. Only love can. In Peter's speech to Cornelius and his household, is clearly more than a formulaic recall of the events of Jesus. It must have been full of Peter's experience of the grace and love of God. He emphasizes we are witnesses. He must have spoken of his ever deeper relationship of love with Christ. We know the speech was imbued with the presence of God because we're told in a verse that wasn't read, I missed it out on the reading that Simon read first, but it says this: while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, and they were speaking in tongues and praising God. The message of the love of God had broken into the lives of those who heard. Along with others in his household, Cornelius had fallen into a much deeper, intimate relationship with God in love. We read earlier in chapter 10 that Cornelius was a good man. He was a centurion in the Italian regiment. He had responsibility. We read that he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Cornelius was a man of belief, conscientious in practicing his faith. But what joy he must have experienced in that encounter with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. How he must have been changed from religious observation to a relationship of love with Jesus. Is this you? Good, dutiful, knowing your faith is vital, but not yet entering into a relationship of love with Jesus in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We know we have to change. We celebrate all of the goodness manifest by people of all race and creeds and non-beliefs. God is love. But there is a special privilege and calling as Christians to be changed by our relationship of love with Christ. Christ died that we will be a new creation, a new humanity. As we know we cannot go back to where we were before Corona, we surely know that the change our society, the world needs is to move away from its focus on private consumption, to move away from our society's individualism. We need to live more simply, sustainably, and equitably. The Christian knows where the power to do this comes from, by being subsumed by the love of God and responding to him in love. The Christian knows our life's journey is to go on being changed into the likeness of Christ Jesus. As Christians, we can, must together lead in how to live differently. As Bishop Graham Tomlin writes in that book, if the church is anything, it is intended as a nursery for the new humanity. If the church is anything, it is intended as a nursery for the new humanity. So here, come follow this Easter day. Ask how, where you are in your relationship with Jesus. Do you ignore the call on your life to follow him, missing out by your reluctance to have your life disturbed? Or do you believe that Jesus is worthy of worship? You may look to him in prayer for miracles, but you haven't given into him in love. Or is your faith little more than a theory, a set of creeds and principles that you give assent to, but you're left cold, not knowing a relationship of love with Christ? Or do you make God, Christ, the focus of your life? You are good, dutiful, knowing your faith is vital, but you're not experiencing a relationship of love with Jesus in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. The question Jesus posed to Peter after his resurrection is the key question for us all to ask of ourselves. Do you love me? Do you love God, Jesus? Are you subsumed by the love of God and respond to him in love? Here is your hope to live well. Here is the hope that God's kingdom will come. We will be changed. Amen.